I am so thankful that we serve a God who is aware, a God who is present, a God who knows the end from the beginning, a God who we can trust because He's faithful. And when we don't know, when we can't see, when we can't understand, we can truly say from a heart of gratitude, Thy will be done, and I trust You, Lord. Praise God for that song. Thank you. Thank you. This is our time where we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of us that are left, if you'll find the Gospel of Matthew in your Bible. Gospel of Matthew. Very first book in the New Testament. The New Testimony of God. We are entering into the Christmas season and the Christmas series that I'm going to be preaching from. And I've been trying to wrestle with a title, and Taylor stays on me. Brother Neil, what's the title going to be? Brother Neil, what's the title going to be? And I'm thankful she does. But boy, sometimes I'm not very creative, so I just kind of struggle with it. But this is the beginning of our Christmas series. We're going to spend 4 or 5 Sundays just looking at and thinking about and remembering and studying the gift that God has sent us. And I think as I've kind of pondered over it, it's probably going to be being an influencer at Christmas. Because as I keep reading and I keep praying and I keep thinking, that's the word that keeps coming back to mind. And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at today. Most of you know that, and I've told you before, the two most difficult times for me to prepare a series or a sermon is on Christmas or Easter. Everybody knows the story. And everybody understands somewhat. And you know, as a preacher, you want things to be fresh and new. But sometimes it just needs to be old and known and better understood. So I'm learning that it's not up to me to make it fresh and new in your heart. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's the same old story. It's the wonderful story that never grows old. So I hope that today God will do that in your heart. Well, as many of you know, in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel according to Luke, there are a couple of genealogies of Jesus. And oftentimes we kind of overlook those because you wonder what can be found in a genealogy. And then sometimes around Christmas, we kind of dig into them a little bit and we start looking at specific characters that are found within it. And today, I'm kind of going to do an overview from a view from about 36,000 feet. So we're not going to really dig into specific people, but I want us to kind of look at the overview of the genealogy and understand that, guys, we're part of that genealogy. That we are children of God. We are still part of the legacy of Christmas, of the Christ event where God became flesh and dwelt among us. We're still part of that legacy, and we still have a function within that legacy. And God's still writing His genealogy. Not the genealogy leading up to Jesus, but the genealogy since Jesus. And folks, we are on this quest as children of God. We are still living out the legacy of grace and mercy that God has shown towards us. That He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe will not perish. And we're part of that. Because we've placed our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ, not because of some fairy tale, not because of this is something we've been taught all our lives, and maybe initially that's where it started, but we have come to understand and to realize the truth because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the Christmas story is real, and all the events that Jesus did and all the history and the things that are talked about in the Bible, we can trust that because of the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, we are part of the family and the legacy of grace, the legacy of that first Christmas morning. And so I want us to look at the lives and kind of take an overview of some of the lives and the people that are in the genealogy of Jesus leading up to Christmas. And then I want us to consider our legacy after Christmas. after Christ has come, after the light has shone in our lives, what is the legacy that we're leaving? We're all influencers. There are people that you influence. It may be your closest friends. It may be just your children or your grandchildren. It may be people at work that are around you. But we all have influence on other people's lives. We all have input. We all have opportunity to speak things into the life and to encourage them one way or the other. And I want us to look at this list of people, some good, some evil, but yet all part of the plan of salvation for Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, because we get frustrated at times, especially when it comes to our children or it comes to our grandchildren or it comes to our relatives, our family. We really struggle when they just refuse to love Jesus. We try to share the gospel. We try to be an influencer with them. We try to let them know how much God loves them. We try our dead level best to be a great influence for the kingdom of God in the lives of the people that we care most about. And sometimes they just don't care. You know, God's plan has always been, we've got to grasp hold of this. God's plan, God's wisdom, God knew, and he planned around the fact that it was going to be a remnant that carried his legacy, that led up to Jesus, and that carried on the legacy after Jesus. That's why Jesus said, find the narrow gate. For narrow is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to righteousness. And there are few that find it. But wide is the gate and wide is the road. And there are many that travel on it that leads to destruction. And we've got to understand, we have been called, we have been saved as part of the remnant. And there's not going to be when you look at the population of the world that has always lived, there's going to be a small portion in heaven. I hate that. It breaks my heart. But it's just the truth. God knew that from the beginning. But he decided to work through a remnant, through a people. As he interacted with them and transformed their lives, and they became influencers that he would use to transform the world and save many from their sins. And we need to celebrate, church, child of God, that he opened our eyes and we understand. We have known and we are saved. We are part of the remnant. Now we're responsible for the legacy. And so let's be influencers for the kingdom. Well, if you will stand with me, we're going to read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to read down through verse 16. Now forgive me if I mispronounce some of these names. We're just going to rush right through. I'm going to try not to spend a whole lot of time on them. It says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron was the father of Ram or Aram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon. And Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Joram. And Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. And Jotham the father of Ahaz. And Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. And Amon was the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah. And the brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abinahu. Abinahud the father of Eliakim. And Eliakim the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Akim. Akim was the father of Eluid. Eluid was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar the father of Matan. And Matan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah or the Anointed One. Let's pray. Lord God, today we come to a portion of your word that sometimes is overlooked, that is sometimes minimized because we don't spend much time on it. But God, there is no portion, no jot or tittle of your word that is not important, no section that is unnecessary or unimportant. So God, today as we look at all these names, some of them we recognize and some of them we don't, God, I pray you would help us to see that all of these were influencers of their generation. All of these were a part of your plan for salvation, some well known, some very little known about them. God, I pray that you would help us to see that whether we are well known or just kind of in the shadows, Lord, we have a decision to make of how we're going to influence not only our generation, not only our family, not only our community, but history and eternity. Because we're your children, God, we can have an eternal impact in this world. Let us choose wisely. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have heard series or messages preached out of the genealogy of Jesus? When was that done? Christmas. And we don't spend much time on it. We think about it, and we'll look at it occasionally at Christmas, and the vast majority of didn't you raise your hand, so you weren't paying attention, because I think a couple of years ago I preached out of this on Christmas. So this will be brand new to you, but I'm coming from a different angle. But oftentimes we just kind of rush through it because there's some hard-to-pronounce names, and you got to think a little bit and remember. And some of them, as you read through, all of us remember David, and we remember Solomon, and we remember Isaac, and we remember Jacob, and we remember Abraham, and we remember some of the names, but there's a lot of them that are just kind of mixed in there that you don't really know a whole lot about, or maybe you've read about them in the Old Testament at some point, but you're kind of zoned out because it's the Old Testament, and you're just kind of getting through it so you can check off, I read my Bible today, or I'm reading through the Bible, and you just don't spend a whole lot of time. But all of these names are important, because all of them were influencers in the kingdom of God, in the people of God, in the legacy of Christ. Now, the thing that I want us to look at today, some of them were a good influence, some of them were a bad influence. Some of them were righteous and called a friend of God. Some of them were evil and brought the punishment of God. But yet, they're still part of the legacy. They're still part of the genealogy of Christ. Some of them used their life to draw people to Jesus. Some of them that you know, absolutely. Some of them you don't know were some of the most influential people and led their generation, led the people of God to righteousness and to love the Lord. And they're preserved in this genealogy. But there's some of them who led people away from God, even though they're in the genealogy of Jesus, even though they came from a legacy and maybe their father and their grandfather loved God and served God, but yet they chose not to. And so there's a couple of things I want us to see. And why would the Holy Spirit guide Matthew to include Manasseh? And if you read about Manasseh, he was one of the most evil kings in all of Judah. He was one of the ones who led the people further away from God. He was the one that caused the people to sacrifice their children to Molech and to bring idols and set up high places. And he led them to do all kinds of wicked things. The Bible says that Manasseh was more wicked than any of his fathers before him. That says a lot. But yet he's still listed in the genealogy of Jesus. As I read through this and as I began to pray about it, I began to think about my own family. Man, I come from a long line, from my grandparents down, because that's the ones I know the most, and my aunts and my uncles. I come from a family that loves Jesus. My mom's brothers and sisters, my dad's brothers and sisters love Jesus. The ones that have died and gone on, the ones that are still here, are constantly influencing their kids for the kingdom. Man, they're loving on their grandchildren and taking them to church, and they're talking to them about Jesus. Man, I come from a family that was led by, and the legacy that I know of is a legacy of loving God. But I've got some cousins. I don't give a rip about him. Live for themselves and live like the devil. Legacy doesn't promise that it's going to carry on in every generation, every person. So every person has a choice and every person has influence to provide. But yet even those who are against God, even those who hate God, even those who don't live for God, God can use them as an example. God can use them to influence others that, hey, there's a better way of life than experiencing what they're living. There's a better way of doing things than what they're doing. And life can be better. Look at these others that love me and see the difference in their life. See the difference in their marriage. See the difference in their family. See the difference between. So God uses sometimes even the most evil to be influencers for the kingdom. Now they're living a bad influence, but God can redeem it. So let's kind of jump in here. Some of the ones that we know about. Abraham, he believed God when God told him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain. He went and he was willing to do it, but God stopped him and he believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. Do you remember that? He's the father of our faith. And he says we have to have a faith like Abraham. A faith that's put into practice. Faith that trusts God, even when it doesn't make sense. So he's a great influencer. He's the father of our faith. He's the one that God chose to bring about the Messiah, to bring about these people who would love him and serve him. Then we've got Isaac and Jacob and Judah. Judah is kind of the oddball here. Judah is the one who God chose to bring David and the people of Judah are the ones who the southern kingdom is named after. Judah. Got Israel and Judah. But Judah was not a really good guy. Remember the story of Judah and Tamar? I think it's in Genesis chapter 23. Judah had a son that married a girl named Tamar. He died. So he gave Tamar to his next son. Married her, didn't have any kids with either one of them. He died too. Judah had one more son who was really young. Two strikes. She done killed two sons as far as he's concerned. Don't want to give her my third. So I'll just use the excuse that he's young and not give her to him. Said, well, you just going back to your folks and when he gets of age, then I'll give him to you and you and he can have children in the name of my oldest son. Well, he got old enough and he didn't give her to Tamar because he didn't want him dying like the other two. She's jinxed. So she notices that Judah's going to be traveling, hears that he's going to be passing through. So remember the story, she dresses up as a prostitute and goes out to the crossroads and has a veil over her face, and Judah's coming through. His wife has already died, and he's got a staff, and he's got a ring, and he goes, and he greets Tamar, and Nobody will know. He don't have any cash on him, so he gives her his staff and his ring to as pay and says, hey, I'll pay you when I come back through. I don't have any cash on me right now, but here's something that will collateral. So they go and do the deed. He leaves, comes back through after his trip. She's nowhere around. He goes to the city, says, hey, where's the prostitute that stays out there by the crossroads? And we don't have any prostitutes around here. We're an upstanding community. You ain't got nobody like that around here. So he, okay, well, the ring's gone, the staff's gone. It's just what it is. And he counts it as the cost of doing business, you know. And he goes on home. And after a while, he gets word that his daughter-in-law, Tamar, is pregnant. Well, that hussy. He demands that she be brought to him and killed for adultery. Well, she's still considered a wife of his son. She comes and she knows what the deal is, and he demands, who did you have relations with? Who did you get pregnant by? Well, it's the man that owns this staff and this ring. Got any ideas? Okay, I'm busted. Not a very good guy. But yet, he's still in the lineage of Jesus. God still chose to put his name there. Chose to name his people after Judah. Why? Because he's got a lot of character with a lot of the people of Judah. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Does some stupid things, gets busted. But yet God can still use him. So Tamar is in here. Judah is in here. Then you see some other names that you know. Rahab. You remember Rahab the harlot in Jericho when God sent the spies? The second time the two spies went in and stayed at Rahab's house because strangers coming in and out of her house was normal. She let them down outside the wall because she understood that the God of Israel was mighty and powerful. And she said, look, when y'all take over this city, because your God said you're going to, and I've heard all the stories of how he parted the Red Sea and how he provided food in the wilderness and brought water from a rock, parted the Jordan River just a couple of days ago for y'all to come in here. I know that he's going to take this city. And we all know it, but the city won't submit. So just remember my kindness when you take over the city. And they said, okay, make sure you're in the house. Anybody outside the house, we're going to kill. But if you're in the house, you're going to be saved. She lets them out. They go. They keep their word when Jericho falls. And she's brought in and saved, her and her family. But notice in the story, when she's rescued and she's kept, she has a place outside the community. They put her tent outside the congregation of the people of God. She's a foreigner. She's a prostitute. She's unclean. But yet, the next time you hear about her, she's moved into the people. She's a God-fearer. And God uses Rahab, the harlot, in his genealogy. Why? Why did he use Rahab? How could he use Rahab, this woman who had spent her life living outside of the will of God, living as a prostitute, and her family okay with it? Because she submitted to the Lord. And that transformed her life. That transformed her legacy. She's no longer Rahab the harlot. She's Rahab, the mother of. Rahab, in the lineage of the Christ. Her life was transformed. Her legacy was changed because she submitted. Bathsheba, we know. Ruth, we know. Asa was called one of the had a heart of Asa, was holy and devoted to the Lord all his days. And Asa was a great king. Jehoshaphat, we've sang little children's musicals about Jehoshaphat. A man of God. Then you keep reading Uzziah. This in Isaiah, it was when Uzziah died that Isaiah was brokenhearted and had that great vision of God. Ahaz. Hezekiah was a godly man, but Hezekiah was the son of Manasseh. Manasseh was an evil king, and it was Manasseh who finally led the people far enough that God chose to take them into captivity. But yet still he's listed in the lineage of Jesus. Because it's not the whole family that matters, it's the remnant. Those influencers for the kingdom, those who submitted themselves to the Lord that made a difference in their family and the legacy of their family. Manasseh was not an influencer for God, but yet he didn't stop the will of God or the plan of God for salvation. Do you know that the people in your family, your loved ones, your brother and sister, your aunt or uncle that doesn't give a rip about God, living so far away from God and proud of it, you know, they're not going to stop the plan of God, and they're not going to stop your legacy of obedience, the influence that you have on those around you. See, God's grace and God's plan, God's purpose, God's presence is bigger than the negative influences of our family. And if we will stay steadfast and we will be wholly devoted to God, if we will live our life or to influence people for the kingdom of God, we can overshadow the negative influences of our family. God can redeem even our mistakes that we make and use them for His glory. He can use those that are wayward. If we're living for God, He can use them as an example, as a contrast between those who are living for God and those who are not living for God. Because they may get along, they may go through life, but they're never going to experience joy and happiness and purpose and meaning. They're never going to experience the blessing of God like you will. And there will be a marked difference in your family and their family, your life and their life. And God will use that to influence generations, to influence nieces and nephews, to influence the rest of the family, to influence a community. Man, don't ever sell short the influence that God has through you when you stay steadfast. His grace, His presence, His purpose in your life is greater than any sin in yours or someone else's will never be overshadowed by those who don't love Him. Then we continue on and you begin to read some other names, Josiah and Jeconiah. You probably don't even remember those names. You may have read them a time or two and you've probably forgotten who they are, but they were kings. But they were kings that didn't honor God. They were kings that were there and after Manasseh that continued in his lineage and continued in his way of leading the people to do evil and led to the deportation to Babylon in verse 11. But then after the deportation, you see Zerubbabel, Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. You read in Ezra 3:8, Zerubbabel was the priest who came back when Ezra came to rebuild the temple after the captivity. A man of God, a man who influenced the kingdom. He is in the lineage. But you see, there's some you know, some you don't, some good, some bad. But God's plan still is carried out. See, our decision has to be, am I going to be part of the positive influence on my family? Or am I going to give up and lead people away from God rather than to Him? See, we still have a legacy. We're still building a legacy. God is still at work. God still has a plan. That's why He hasn't sent His Son here. He's still got the plan of salvation that continues on even after Jesus. And we're part of that plan, whether good or bad. The decisions we make are not going to stop His plan, not going to stop the return of Jesus, not going to stop people from getting saved. But it will determine where we're going to spend eternity and what our legacy is. If you want to make a difference in your family, if you want to make a difference in this community, if you want to make a difference in this generation, stay steadfast. Determine that no matter what's going on, I can trust God, and thy will be done is a wonderful response. And God, I'm not known by many people. I may not even be very well known in my own family. But God, with every ounce of influence I may have, I want to make you known. I want to live for you. And who knows? The next great preacher may come out of your lineage because of the influence that you have. The next great evangelist may come out. The next great worship leader, the next great theologian may come from your... The one who is going to lead the next generation to Christ may come out of your family, may come out of your sphere of influence because you were steadfast, because you were committed. And you didn't give up. See, none of these people from Abraham on, even though Abraham had the promise, he didn't know how it was going to play out. He didn't know how long it was going to take. He just knew, for me and my house, as Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. I don't know what everybody else is going to do. I don't know how God's going to play this out. I don't know how long God's going to take before he sends his son Jesus. But as for me, my house, I'm going to influence them for Jesus. And I'm going to try and influence these that are evil. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to try and talk to them. I'm going to try and share Jesus with them. But I also know that they're not going to stop the plan of God. And we need to remember that in these days when it seems like evil is so rampant and our society is seemingly going to hell in a handbasket. God's still sovereign. God's still over it. And we have influence if we will stay focused on the Lord. You can make a difference if we will live, if we will love, if we will walk in the power and the presence of God. They may never know your name, but your influence may change the direction of your family, of your friend's family, of the community, of the culture around you. We've got to stay focused. We've got to stay faithful because God's plan is at work. And he has invited you to be a part of that plan, that purpose, that influence for the kingdom. Whether the world knows your name or the world never hears your name, these are just a few. There are many others. God wants to use you to make a difference. Not you make a difference, but him make a difference through you. That's a big difference. That's a totally different thing. But when we live under his authority and submit to him, just like Rahab, just like Tamar, just like all of these others that are listed, the difference was they submitted to God and lived for his glory and his kingdom, not their own. And their influence was used by God to bring salvation in the Messiah. Now he wants to use us to bring salvation to the world after the Messiah. What's your influence? This Christmas, pray and ask God, somehow, some way, use me to influence others, to share the truth about Christmas, to share the hope about Christmas, to share the gospel of Christmas, to share the joy of Christmas, to use the struggle that I'm going through to bring glory and honor to your name. Somehow, some way, God, use me to influence others as I submit to you. Then, we can be part of that great cloud of witnesses over the next generation that's talked about in Hebrews. Because you live faithfully. Because you live righteously. Because you influence people around you for the kingdom. See, we're still part of that plan. We're still part of that story. You just got to choose what part you're going to be. The ones who's for him or against him. The one who lives submitted, the one who lives in rebellion. Either way, you're not going to stop God's plan. But you can be a wonderful part of it, especially this Christmas season. Let's stand.